our esteemed leaders down in Washington, D.C., in Congress, they're still at it. They're still working. They haven't left yet. But they've got some work to do. They got to figure out what's going on with some of these aid packages to Ukraine and Israel. And, of course, those are being tied to some legislation, some policy moves on the border, and kind of tying that together. So they're working here to the last minute before they take off for the holidays. Zach Cohen, he's in Washington, D.C. It's his unfortunate job to be a congressional reporter for a Bloomberg government. Zach, again, what's happening, if anything, in D.C. as we try to maybe get something done here on the border slash international aid?
Yeah, and senators will gather later today privately in, you know, the two-party lunches to get a little more detail on what exactly has been agreed to, if anything, between negotiators from the Senate and the White House, from both parties in the Senate, to try to come up with some sort of deal on border policy that would assuage Republicans to support a broader aid package for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, without alienating enough Democrats. So that way it actually gets through the Senate and eventually passes the House, which is on recess this week for the next 3 weeks, and eventually gets signed by President Biden. But that's a tall order for Washington to meet in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, how likely is it that Republicans are going to get the demands that they're asking for, changes in border and immigration?
It's going to be tough. It does sound like that negotiations are ongoing. I think Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, did say that they were making some progress on changes to asylum policy, making basically tighter rules. So that way migrants across the border seeking asylum would have a harder time making that case to Border Patrol. But the issue is that there's still this standoff over to what degree the Biden administration kind of grant parole to migrants who do make it into the United States. And so it's a really thorny issue. It's something that Congress has not been able to reach a resolution on for decades, really. And so the idea of coming to an agreement this week really does seem slim. And that would leave Kyiv really battling on its own as those weapons run out, or at least U.S. aid runs out by the end of the year, by next week.
Yeah, Zach, that's kind of, I was reading some reporting that that's kind of it. It really is a calendar year-end type of deal. Do we know what actually happens? Like, I mean... Did the shipment, the plane stop flying? Did the ships stop sailing over to Europe with whatever we're sending over there? Is that how it works?
Our colleagues have reported that there's materiel that the U.S. could send to Ukraine next year if indeed these supplies do run out, but it would come at the expense of other stockpiles that the U.S. likes to hold on to in the case of national emergencies, at home and abroad. And so, we could see that maybe Congress comes back in January, and that's enough time to sort of backfill the need. It's not like, Ukrainian soldiers will kind of put down their guns and walk away on January 1st, but it might leave Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky looking to other allies for support. And I think a failure to actually pass this aid by the end of the year is going to prompt some allies to say, well, wait a minute, what are we doing here? What's the U.S.'s role here? So it's something that certainly large majorities in both chambers of Congress really do want to get done for just that reason. But clearly the demand for some sort of border policy attached to it is the true sticking point.
But then also, this is not the only country that U.S. congressmen and senators are looking at in terms of giving aid, because there's also the potential for aid for Israel and Taiwan. Can you talk a little bit about what the situation will be there in those countries if or when we get a failure to get an agreement?
Yeah, and it sounds like the aid to Ukraine has been the most urgent of all of these. It's really been the political driver, just given the deadlines that the U.S. is under to replenish those weapons that as we've been discussing. Israel obviously entering the third month of its war with Hamas after the October 7th attack certainly could use some U.S. support, but I think the urgency is not so great there. The other issue there is you've got some progressive Democrats who are talking about conditioning that aid to Israel on some sort of assurances that the Israeli Defense Forces would limit the number of civilian casualties in the Gaza Strip, where the Hamas-run health ministry has said thousands have died during the bombardment. And so that issue has not been unlocked either. But that being said, the overall package probably loses a couple of progressive votes anyway. So that might be a moot point. Generally, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, broadly bipartisan support.
All right, Zach, let's set the stage for next year when Congress does reconvene. Kind of what's the to-do list for Congress when it does get back, assuming they're going to table some of this aid legislation?
Well, certainly one of the first things they'd have to do is avoid another government shutdown when Congress comes back the week of January 8th. There's a couple of bipartisan agencies or that are typically funded on a bipartisan basis, things like the Department of Agriculture, the Food and Drug Administration, that their funding runs out in mid-January. And so they would have to come up with some sort of funding bill to extend funding either for another short-term extension, which is something that House Speaker Mike Johnson has said he doesn't want to do, or a full-year extension, so to speak, at least at the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. The trouble is that Johnson and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer have yet to reach an agreement on how much to spend on each of the 12 parts of the government funding bills. And talking to appropriators and leadership yesterday, that's a real hurdle and something that could make it more difficult to get those funding bills done both in January and in February.
But I guess the longer they leave it with deciding on aid to Ukraine, it's just going to get more and more difficult as the election year heats up.
That's exactly right. Generally, in any even-numbered year, it gets hard to get bipartisan deals done, least of which, Congress is typically in session less as lawmakers are back home campaigning, fundraising for their reelection campaigns, for their allies' reelection campaigns. And it's just more difficult to convince the other side to give the majority in either chamber a legislative win. That's something they can go home and campaign on. Now, there are, substantial bills that do pass during election years, but generally the more productive years in Congress are those odd-numbered years. And obviously the clock is ticking down on that one here.
Hey, Zach, what's the early read, the early feedback on Speaker Mike Johnson? Because, boy, as we've seen just over the past several months, that's a tough job.
I think it's a tough job for anybody, which is certainly what I keep hearing. Both Republicans and Democrats alike recognize that the majority in the House is a very thin one, and there's a number of hardliners there, mostly in the House Freedom Caucus, that make it really hard for anything to get done in the House that doesn't require bipartisan support. It's almost, the House has become something like the Senate, where you really need both parties to agree on something for anything to become law. And so Johnson certainly comes to the job with a more conservative bent than former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy ever did. But at the end of the day, I think what Johnson is realizing and showing is that, there's an old adage in congressional leadership that leadership is followership. And Johnson, just like any other leader, has to follow the whim of his conference, the 200-something Republicans that are in the House. And I think that's what you're seeing in every move that he makes. His primary audience is the members who elected him to that job.
Zach, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Zach Cohen, he covers Congress, which is a tough job in and of itself for Bloomberg government.